Friday to everybody. It's time for another episode of Save City of Heroes Radio. I'm sure you'll have weekend plans, but just sit back, relax with us. Before you go do anything else tonight, I am Pogoman, your host, and with me as always, my loyal, faithful, trusted sidekick, the one, the only, Susie the Elf.
Hello. Where's my footstool? My
I know. How do you get a masseuse? How do you get a masseuse?
Because I own the station.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, how come I don't have a masseuse?
Because you're not the owner of the station.
But I'm hosting right now.
That isn't my problem.
Well, fine. Just be that way. Anyway, sorry about that. Yeah, of course, the show starts. I get a million messages from people. Go away, I'm doing the show.
I know. It's called hostitis.
And of course, the favorite, do you have the link? Yeah, I just gave it to you 2 minutes ago. It should still be there.
Did you send Dietrich the link?
Yes, I did. As a matter of fact, she's one of people just messaged me. She's still at work, but we'll call in later.
Yeah, I probably will miss her, though.
Maybe.
I can't stay on very long. When the hubby comes home, we're going to eat and have to go take down a sign. And, yeah, it's just, yeah.
Oh, okay. So, not a lot going on in the City of Heroes front. But I had an interesting week. We finally got to the bottom of my recent fatigue for the last 2 months. It was a minor.
And what is it?
A minor B12 deficiency. So they gave me a B12 shot today.
Now, are you going to have more B12 shots, or do you think the one will do it?
The one, and then he recommended just getting some B12 pills, you know, B12.
Supplement.
Yeah, supplement, just taking it with my normal pills. So.
Oh, yay, more pills.
I know. But, you know, if it's going to help, you know, B12 is important. I mean, I do take vitamins as it is, and it has B12 in it. Maybe it's not enough. I don't know. I always thought there was enough in there, but what are you going to do? Then the dishwasher dude showed up. He finally fixed our dishwasher. I was so happy today.
Yay, no more washing dishes by hand.
I didn't mind. It was kind of cool because everybody was just using paper plates and, you know, just throwing them out. I'm like, wow, it's amazing when, like, the dishwasher's broken. And when some people found out they had to wash things by hand. They didn't want to use a lot of plates. They'd use the paper and plastic.
Maybe they ought to do that all the time.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe we should just...
I threatened to pack all of the dishes so we don't have to mess with them.
Oh, there you go. So I did a good deed today. It's been aggravating me for a month, and it's like... It doesn't happen until I leave the store, but today it happened as I got there. I said, enough's enough. Now, as you know, I have some injuries. I got a temporary disability, parking sticker on my car. So I get to park in the hand, temporary handicap, sorry, not disability. I got temporary handicap there. So I get to park. Obviously, if I see, like, an old woman kept pulling in and it's choice between me or her, yeah, I will be gracious and let her take it because, obviously, no matter what's wrong with me, I'm sure she's a lot worse off than I am.
Okay.
You know, so I'll be cool. All right, it's all right. I can walk a couple extra steps. Not a lot of people around. But what gets me now is, you know, between the two parts, what do you always see between the two handicap spots?
Okay, now say that again.
You know how there's always, like, two handicap spots? Like, all the handicap parking's up front?
Right.
And there's two spots for handicapped. And what's between them?
Sometimes it depends on how much room it is. One of the handicapped spots will be van accessible.
Right.
That they'll have a space between them.
And there'll be blue lines, right? The blue.
Yeah, they're usually marked off. It's usually marked off, you know, which indicates don't park your butt here.
Exactly. Well, our parking lot doesn't have any signs there. And the blue lines are a little on the faded side, but still, you could see them. Every friggin' day, you get one or two people who park in that spot. Not even handicapped. And people yell at them. It's like, hey, I don't see a sign saying I can't park here. So as I park
in... It's marked off, you freaking idiot.
That's what the blue lines are for. So I said, screw it. I went in. King Cullen is the main store there. It's a brand of stores up here. So supermarkets up here. So I went in, talked to customer service. They got the store manager, and right away he put a call into headquarters. He goes, hold on a minute, and they gave him the number for the landlord, and he talked to them. And he said, actually, this has been going on quite a few times. So I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. So a few, and then I hear him say a few people have complained. He didn't, so that means that no one called till I got there and demanded the landlord's phone number.
Yeah, some people just don't even, they just turn a blind eye. Wow. You know, one time I pulled my parents and I, this was back, you know, I was probably junior high age.
Okay.
Pulled up to one of the supermarkets in town, one of the store, the grocery stores, and this guy pulls up. Now, my grandfather, my granddaddy, had both legs amputated 6 inches below the knee.
Oof. Okay.
So he had a handicap sticker.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So, you know, I mean, justifiably had a handicap sticker.
Okay.
I mean, like when my grandmother drove a car and he wasn't with her, she never parked in the handicap.
Right, right.
Only parked there when granddaddy was with her.
Okay.
So, you know, so I have an appreciation for the fact that people need the handicap spots.
Exactly, exactly.
You know, I don't. They do. And so we pulled up to this grocery store, and there was a car sitting in a handicapped spot, parking spot, no tag in the window, you know, the mirror hanging off the mirror, no license plate.
Right.
Really, this was before they did the handicap license plate.
You
only had the tags that hung on the mirror.
Right,
and
that's what we have up here. Well, I mean, you have the option, but you see more tags in the window than the actual license plate.
A lot of people do that because they don't ride in the same vehicle all the time.
Right.
But anyway, so I look at the car and go, look at that guy. He's parked in that handicap spot. And one of my parents, I don't remember which one it was, says, yeah, and he's a preacher. And so I just immediately, I got out of the car and I walked over to his car and I tapped on his window. He rolled down his window and I said, you know, sir, you're parked in a handicap spot and you don't have tags. Oh, well, my wife is just running in for a minute. Do you need this spot? I said, no, but there's somebody that could, and you don't need to be parking here.
Exactly.
And on top of that, you're a preacher. You know better.
Mm-hmm.
Did he move his car?
No, I bet he did.
No. Oh, she'll only be a minute. I said, I don't care. You should move your car right now because, first of all, you could get a ticket for this, and it ain't cheap. And second of all, it's rude and unchristian-like.
That's right.
So
I think next time I go and I see somebody doing that, I'm going to bring my phone. Actually, I bring my phone all the time, but take pictures of the area and the vehicle in question.
You could also call the cops.
Oh, I should. Yeah, I should just do that. So, but I figure I come home and take
pictures. If it's on the right hand side,
right,
of a van accessible handicap spot, they are blocking accessibility for a handicap.
Well, actually, what it is, it's like a handicap spot, and then right in the middle is this blue, you know, the blue thing. And here's the whole point of that. And I agree with this. If you're in a van and you need to get on the right side and you have to park in the one closer to the curb, you could pull over and park in the middle of that stripe line area to let somebody out. You know, that's how I always viewed it. Okay? Oh,
well,
hold on. We have somebody in the chat. Hello, Moses. I see you.
It's your nephew.
My nephew Moses. Who happened to play Steve Heroes for the last couple months. He finally got to play because he used to watch, when he was a lot younger, he used to watch me play and he goes, oh, this is so cool. And then he finally got to play, oh, this is awesome. And then they announced him, like, what the hell, man? Like, this is BS. We finally get to play together and they're closing it down.
But anyway, did they have on the part, the, as you're looking at the front, you know, the front of the store and there's the parking, did the left-hand side one say van accessible?
No. It was just both of them were there. Neither one said van accessible, but like I said, between the two spots is the the line.
Oh, you'd probably still call the cops.
Oh, yeah, because it's the fact that he's parked in that spot with the blue lines. And
yeah,
the thing is,
parking.
And it's always this. I always see two handicapped people parking it, and all of a sudden this car, people tell me, this car comes flying up and parks there. And I'm like, what the? You know, and there's no consideration. And they just go in and this, and they try and get by with, and you know they're joking around. You know they're trying to use this excuse. You know, that they can't see it when you could see it.
Yeah, I did today, I just called, you called the cops.
Well, you know what I did today? I parked half on the park, and I purposely, you know, I got the sticker, I got the thing on my car. So I parked half in the spot and half over where the blue lines are. Because there was another car on the opposite side parked where you weren't supposed to park. So I figure, well, since this guy parked, I guarantee he's going to try and come flying through. I made sure he couldn't get through.
Good for you.
As a matter of fact, I'll tell you something else I did. And it's funny because somebody on the other side was parked in the handicap, you know, right in front of me. When I opened my car, you know how, like, you're usually courteous and don't open the door all the way? I just slammed my door open.
My phone's ringing.
I just slammed my door open. When I got back, I pushed the shopping cart right into their car. I said, you know what? You're already breaking the law, dude. Go ahead. Try and say something about me. I guess Susie had to make a call. I had to take a call. Well, so that was my thing today. I took some affirmative action. I want to see what happens. I'm going to give them 2 weeks tops. Well, no, BS. I'm going to wait till the next time I have to go shopping. And if they don't do anything by then I'm going to, you know, say, hey, what the hell's going on here? But anyway, trying to see if there's anything.
I bet that's a hubby call.
Okay, yeah, I know. I heard that. So, interesting thing with my brother-in-law this week.
Okay.
Actually, I think he gets a hero nomination this week. I can't. Remember, I've been tired, so I'm not my. Oh, it's funny. Moses just typed that. That's exactly what I was going to type about. My brother-in-law Donato was driving around about 20 minutes away from here on a highway, and something happened where they were trying to merge or something like that, and the guy was being rude and wouldn't let him in, and he didn't have a choice. He should have let him in, so he gets in there, and all of a sudden. The guy got mad. I'm trying to, and all of a sudden, now you know on the highway there's a divider, so you can't cross, but there's like two lanes going one way, and the other two lanes on the other side are going the other way.
Divided highway.
Yeah, a divided highway, but it's got a metal thing in the front, so you can't go front. Well, it turns out all of a sudden he looks over. Now he's going, you know, he's in the lane going the way he's supposed to be. The guy, or whatever, talk about road rage, he's driving. Going the same way Donato is. All the other traffic is going the other way. He's driving down one of the lanes to catch up to him to start cursing at him.
Okay.
So he did the only thing he had to do. I think he did the right thing. He pulled out his camera, his phone, video, and videotaped the guy. You know? And you could hear him yelling and screaming. There were a couple of profanities, you know. And, anyway, last night now, I'm sitting here, I'm sitting in my room, you know, I was doing some house cleaning, and my stepsister knocks on my door. She goes, there's a film guy there's a guy from NBC here. I'm like, what do you mean? And, like, WNBC, the network? Goes, yeah, there's a film guy here. And so we're talking about some road rage thing. I'm like, well, what's going on here? And eventually it turned out that Donato's the one who posted the video, but they got the address. They didn't have the address for some reason. Somehow they associate with us here. So they're like, okay, this is weird. But the way I heard, now remember, I'm tired last night, so I'm not getting all the facts. And my brain isn't registering all the facts, right? I thought he said it was from a friend of his. A friend was in the car with him. He had taken the video, and he was driving. So it was actually him. It was actually his video. So, so he posted the video to NBC. They wanted to get an exclusive from him. Well, somehow this morning, he gets a call. ABC News wants to get him. So it turns out that he had to go into the city today. They met up with him in the city.
Okay.
So they interviewed him. And at the 5 o'clock news tonight, in the first 4 minutes of it, I think it was like maybe 2 minutes, but he was on explaining his thing. Oh, okay, and Moses, since it's our nephew, he just posted the video. You can watch the video there of what happened. I don't know if that's the whole video of the news replay or that's just the video Donato took. But that's the video there. And then, like, they interview him. It's so funny because, like, I'm sure they had to coach him, like, what not to say. So he goes, yeah, so I nonchalantly flipped him the bird. I'm like, I start cracking. I'm like, I've never heard it put so nicely.
I'm watching the video.
Oh, okay. He said it's the whole news. Yeah, it's funny. So I DVR'd it before. I'm like, and I wanted to lay down. Before, you know, I like to. I just need to lay down for half an hour. I'm like, okay, maybe they'll show it really quick. I'm like, oh, they showed it. But it was just funny, his, like, some of the things they had him saying. Like, I'm sure, like, they coached him, like, all right, don't say it like this, say it like that. But I'm sure he knew what he knew to do the right thing, so. But then if you watch the police officer, and he's like, yeah, we don't advise people to pull their, you know, their video cameras out and or, you know, phones out and record things. You just pay attention to the road. But it's like, well, if you didn't have this, you wouldn't have a lead on who to get, you know, on the guy.
Yeah, hopefully they got the license plate number. And
he said in the video, we have your license, but the video, it doesn't show it. So I don't know if they're going to find the guy or not.
Well, I hope they do, because that guy definitely, I haven't seen the whole thing yet.
Yeah.
But yeah, it looked like he was driving on the shoulder.
On the completely different side of the highway, even the wrong side of the highway. I mean, I have seen it where people get mad and, oh, they found him?
Good.
They found him. Ah, see? True justice done.
Yeah, the problem is, though, he probably still has his driver's license.
Well, they can only do so much, but, you know. But, like, what the hell was he thinking?
Yeah, that's the problem. You know, I've always said, I've said for many, 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 many years, it's a good thing my uncle does not have guns, because if he did, we would be visiting my aunt in jail, because she would shoot somebody on the road. She has just horrible road rage.
Oh, my dad. Oh, wow. He's three houses down from my brother-in-law's friend. Very good. Very good, Moses. Thank you for reporting that. See, when I'm getting
ready to... Action news reporter Moses.
That's right. See? Well, he's got to keep me updated because I'm trying to get other news. Okay. You know, okay, let's change gears for a minute. Let's sink back
change
into...
Change gears.
Oh, yeah. I didn't mean it like that. Maybe I did. But let's... Where is this information? I hope they're listening. You know, sometimes... You know, I always feel like every time we do this show, unless... I can actually say the game is back on. I always feel like we don't have any good news to announce, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just something with me, you know, everybody says that we love what you're doing, but I'm like, yeah, but unless I can announce the game is back, I just feel like, you know, no, still not on, sorry. A gentleman by the name of Mark Taylor got in touch with me on Facebook the other night, and he asked, he requested something of me. He says, Kat, and I did some research. I don't have her last name. I'm thinking it's Catherine Oliver. If it's not, I apologize, because he just gave me her, you know, her first name, Kat. So basically what happens is she received a Lele Ray, I think he spelled it right. It's Yukon Gray doll. And if I remembering right, Lele Ray made plush figures of some of the characters from City of Heroes. Basically, she looted it, and she found a ring on the doll. Basically, he asked her to marry him via the COA, the City of Heroes doll, as that is where they had first met, and that's where they first met. She said yes, and now they are engaged. So this is an engagement announcement from Mark Taylor. I'm hoping it's Catherine Oliver. It's not. I apologize. I'm hoping it's her. So he asked me to congratulate her on the show for me. Thanks, Mark. So I'm congratulating her. I'm congratulating you, Mark. Congratulations.
Congratulations. Woo!
I'm not asking for a wedding invitation, but, you know, maybe some, what do you want, wedding cake?
I don't know. Wedding cake.
As long as it's fresh, you know, because if it takes like 2 weeks to get here, it'll be a stay. Very cool. I'm hoping the game. See, and this is why, you know, people ask me, why are you doing this show? You know, this is why. this is why I do it. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've heard stories of people meeting in-game, you know, and they hang out all the time, they talk, and then they meet, one thing leads to another, and then, you know, they get married. I mean, we've had quite a few people I know, and people I don't know, but I've heard stories, you know, that they met through playing this game.
Yeah.
And they've gotten married, had kids. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we got to announce that Comrade Smirsch and Siberian Spring, they had a daughter, they had a second baby. Or another baby.
Congratulations.
I announced that on air. I thought that was cool. And I did get to play with them quite a bit in the last few months. I thought that was awesome. Announced some good news. It's always like, you know, and then sadly, you know, we announced Trey, a.k.a. Ascendant, he passed away. You know, so, gee, I guess we do it all here. Funeral announcements, birth announcements, engagements, bar mitzvahs coming soon. we just announced it all here.
We like to celebrate.
We like to celebrate. Drinks and cake all around, I say. Oh, and look who joined us. Scarlett Corby has joined us.
Yay! Hi, Scarlett. Still want you to call in. And S.R. Malloy.
Did he? Oh, there he is. And Moses just left. That's what happened. I saw Moses here and he just left. So. S.R. Malloy is here. Scarlett Corby. I hope they heard the announcement. I should have waited a few minutes.
Announce it again.
All right, I will announce it again. We just said congrats. All right, I'll read the whole thing again. We just said, sorry, Scarlett, you just missed this really cool announcement. As I said, Mark Taylor got in touch with me Wednesday night. He requested something of me to read on air. His girlfriend, Kat, I think it's Catherine Oliver. I'm going to say it because I looked at his page before, and that's the only Kat I could find. She had received a Lele Ray, I guess that's the name of the person who makes these things, a Yukon Gray doll. She looted a ring from the doll. He asked her to marry him via the COH doll, as they had met in City of Heroes. And I'm congratulating her. I'm congratulating him. They are now another engaged couple from City of Heroes. So even though the game has been shut down for too long, the spirit remains. The community is still intact. And here you go. Another, what do you want to call it, byproduct of the game. We have another happily engaged couple.
There you go. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Yay. Send us cake.
That's right. Send us cake. She'll have to carry the ring to Mount Doom and throw it into the lava. Scarlet Corp, I bet that was one of those luck charms used in crafting. That's one of those things you have to find in the game. You get these in-game stuff. So yes, we'll be expecting a small wedding cake to share with everybody. Or if you trip last, we could have some wedding cakes shaped timbits for him. Oh, we have a caller on hold.
Yay!
A 513 caller.
You know who that is.
Oh, I think I do.
I know who that is.
Well, let's see if they'll answer.
Who do we love to have on the air?
Hello?
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 Deidre.
Triple A says, Timbits are too small for cake, silly, but I'll take. Well, you put a little frosting on it, you know, put a couple of them together. I know, they're like Dunkin' Donuts munchkins. Oh, I just got a message from her. Oh, okay, she can't. Let me put her back on hold. She can't talk yet. She's still at work.
Oh, darn.
What was that?
I just got a message from Deidre.
Oh, good Lord. So you were forging. It sounded like you were forging something on the anvil.
Nope.
Oh. Right. Timbit is a Canadian word for donut hole, basically. Right. So they have the equivalent of Dunkin' Donuts munchkins. You know, I saw that picture you posted the other night in one of my posts on the Titan Network. All of a sudden, I had a craving for a jelly munchkin. But sadly, I didn't want to go Dunkin' Donuts just for a jelly munchkin.
I just saw a Ron White picture that had the quote, I had the right to remain silent, but I didn't have the ability. How many people do we know like that?
Oh, too damn many. Well, if only they'd be quiet. Why? Why do they open their mouths?
Yes. Why?
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 Must you? Okay, so on a whim, I looked up Dunkin' Donuts. Never mind. I was wondering if maybe they had a price guide on. Yes, that's more like diarrhea of the mouth.
Yes, very much so.
Yes, Carl, Krispy Kreme may be better at Dunkin' Donuts, but we don't have Krispy Kreme around here.
Oh, Krispy Kreme.
And I don't. Do they have donut holes or the equivalent of munchkins?
Yeah,
okay,
I don't know.
Okay, I've never had one, so. Yeah, Krispy Kreme has too much fat in donuts. I remember, oh my God, wasn't Krispy Kreme doing it? A donut-flavored coffee? A while ago or something like that. I know one of them was doing it. Everybody's like, why?
No, I don't drink coffee, so I don't keep up with that.
Oh, Scarlett says it's nature's way of saying I need to move.
That's right.
Look,
if
I'm
you don't
just,
have a Krispy Kreme around you, you need to move.
I am just very happy that I don't live near a White Castle.
I've never had White Castle.
Oh, my God. What the hell is wrong with you?
I don't think I've ever even seen a White Castle.
Okay, whatever you do, if you're in the supermarket and you buy the frozen food and you see a package of White Castle burgers,
don't get them.
It's not the same thing. I mean, like, if you tell yourself, if you've had White Castle, you know that they're not the same thing. No matter how you make them, how you prepare them, it's not the same thing.
Yeah, no, I've never had White Castle. Like I said, I don't even think I've ever seen a White Castle.
And this is what I could say, though. Like I said, I used to go to, when I went to Icon yearly, one of my things was we went Friday night, Saturday night, and then occasionally we go Sunday during the day. Friday night and Saturday night, I really wouldn't eat. Like Friday, I would eat, but I'd have like a really light early lunch because I knew on my way home from Icon, I would stop at there's a White Castle kind of on the way home from there. You know, it's just up the road on a side trip, so I would stop and get White Castle then. And then Saturday, I'd be so full. I drink like a lot of fluids, like a lot of water. I drink, keep myself hydrated. But then by the time I got to my car, like 1 o'clock in the morning, I'd be like, oh my God, I'm getting hungry. And I dip to White Castle and grab, I swear to God, I pick out like a 10-pack and a large fries and a soda of some kind.
Yeah.
And I swear I would eat on the way home. I would just grab them because they're little guys.
Yeah, they're sliders, basically.
Right. Yeah. Well, they cannot. Yeah, now I recall them sliders, but they weren't. Right, they were out before the sliders came around, but.
But that's the size they are.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
A couple of bites per burger.
Maybe. Depending how long. Oh, my God. Okay, now that we've established the White Castle, I could tell this story. Oh, God. It was one of the Icons I went to, ran into a friend I was in high school with. We talk every, you know, but this is like the first time I actually got to role play with him at an Icon event. Now, they had this thing back then with Dungeons & Dragons called the RPGA, the Role Players. The Role Playing Gamers Association, I think it was called, and they had this thing, The Living City. And basically what it was is you have a character, as long as you're registered, you can bring this character with you to any RPGA-sanctioned event.
Okay.
And you can bring this character. And everything was cool because the only time I got to play with this character was at Icon. And it was so funny because I say people, you know, I say, yeah, check my character. Like, oh, my God, this is awesome. This is like an Icon, baby. Meaning the only time I've ever played this character was at Icon. You know, because you get, like, if you get a magic item or something in a game, a treasure, whatever, it says on there, like, the game master, or dungeon master, has to write on there where it was from. It's from Icon, and this guy GM'd and is on this date for this adventure.
Okay.
So now, afterwards, a friend of mine was going to the hotel. He stayed, him and his family decided to stay at the hotel, even though he lives out by me. I said, no, I didn't want to do the hotel thing. I didn't want, you know, I said, screw it. I just wanted to go, you know, I like to go home for a little bit and check out my swag I picked up. And sometimes my swag would be like websites I picked up, you know, I got information on. You
right.
know, I'd go home for an hour. If I had any White Castle left over, by the time I made it home, I'd finish that up and just, you know.
Rich.
Yes.
I have to go because, yeah, there's legal issues at play here. So I have to go and take care of things.
Can you wait 2 minutes? I'll get to the nitty-gritty of the story.
Make it quick.
Okay. So anyway, so a friend of mine needed a ride. I talked to these people who I knew, you know, because every year I've been going, they were there running the games. And so I asked them, can you do me a favor? My friend needs a ride to the hotel. So they said, sure, no problem. He gets in the car with him. And I said, yeah, I hang out with them. They're good guys, and they're all going to the same hotel. He goes, all right. I find out 6 months later, on the way home, they stopped, or the way to the hotel, they stopped at said White Castle. He goes, oh, my God, I'm sitting in the back seat. He goes, I kid you not, they each ordered two suitcases of White Castle. A crate has 100 of these in each one. They order a crate. They put the crate down in front of him. He's sitting in the back seat watching it. They start devouring this crate. Now, remember, whenever they do like a regular case of 20 or 30 or 40, they have to lock the front doors. Basically, they were in total shutdown because they had to make 200 of these things for one order. So they're sitting there, you know, and they're jamming these things down. My friend's in the back, flabbergasted, like hiding, like, oh, my God, like he was afraid to move. The people inside kept watching, like taking pictures of these two. Basically, they devoured 100 of these things before the next order was done, and they devoured another 100 before they got to the hotel. So I asked him, because I said, did you order anything? He goes, even if I did, I was afraid to ask for it, because I thought if I spoke up, I might be part of their feeding frenzy. I mean, they were heavy, but I didn't think they were that heavy. But I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, I couldn't even – okay, I've gotten, like, 10 of these things, and with French fries, I don't say, by the time I got home, I was so stuffed. I mean, ridiculous. And I swear to God, I said, I'm glad Icon's only once a year. And I said, the only time I eat White Castle is two times on that weekend. Even on that Sunday night, if I'm there late and I'm hungry, I'm like, oh, my God, no. I've had it twice already. I can't do a third day. I can't do it to my body. You know, there's no way I could stomach 3 days of this. So that was that. I felt bad for him. And it was just...
Yeah, that's crazy.
To give you an idea,
it makes my stomach hurt.
We had a New Year's Eve party here a couple of years, 2 years ago. No, last year. No, I'm sorry. 2 years, 2 or 3 years ago. My stepbrother got the big case, the thing of 100 of them, stacked them all up nicely, took up half the table.
Okay, yeah.
And it was just funny because now I'm thinking, and every time I saw this, I'm like this, holy shit. And I told
Rich?
The story, they're like, really? What?
Rich?
Yes?
I really have to go.
Okay.
This involves the police confiscating the soccer sign if I don't get this done.
Okay, you go. I'm going to
get it. All right.
I'm telling the audience the rest of the story. I know you're
all right.
Leaving.
I will have fun.
Can you hurry back?
I don't. Yeah, we're going to go eat. So I don't know if I'll be back.
Okay, you're going to go eat. Okay, I guess I'll sit here and do the rest of the show by myself.
I'm sorry. I told you.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye.
We'll see you next week. Enjoy dinner. Some of us aren't eating until after the show, but it's okay. Goodbye. Toodaloo. Nerve some people. I think she left. Let me check. Yeah, she left. The audacity. All right, hold on. SM Y says, if you ever make it out to Sandy... Ego, I'm going to have to take you to Canada State. There's a place called San Diego? All right, Deidre says she'll be here when she can. No worries. All right. Oh, San Diego. Durr. I'm sorry. I know, you would think when I said San Diego, I would have gotten that. Oh, my God. You got me good with that one. I had a busy afternoon today. Oh, my God. Derp, shoot me down. So, for those of you, anybody who missed last week's show, again, I had to do that monthly or every 6 weekly, however you want to put it. I had to get another paint block shot. That's why we went to Saturday night. And actually, it was kind of cool that we did Saturday night because there was a lot of tidbits, from the San Diego International Comic Con. And I must have read them for a good hour and a half, and a lot of great movies coming out. For those of you who missed it, go look up last week's show, and you can check it out in the archives. Matter of fact, I might have to because I lost my list of news. Because sometimes I'll just put them up on my computer, like each little tidbit, and when I'm done, I'll exit out. I'm like, you know, I really should have written all that stuff down, so. And someone else says, California, from callous meaning hot and fornia meaning sex, the land of hot sex. And Triple S says, yeah, you ate all those tidbits. They did not taste like Timbits. I know they didn't taste like Timbits, but they were juicy information nonetheless. Okay. I don't know why I just did that, but it's going to be a long rest of the show. Anyway, if you'd like to call in and just talk, whatever, you know, give your opinions about things, give me a topic to discuss, there's one of two ways. First, you could either call in at 646-478-0073, or if you're one of the good people in the chat room, you scroll to the top of the page, there is a blue square with a white S in the middle. I know it doesn't stand for Superman. It stands for Skype. You click on that. And it's a free call into the studio. And as I always say, free is good in today's economy. Okay, they were good. No jelly filling, but they were good. Yeah, you know what? I don't even eat the jelly ones. Well, I don't know. I like the chocolate, the old chocolate one, but all of a sudden I had this craving for a jelly one. I'm like, what is wrong with me? We do have a caller. Hello? Sean?
Yeah.
What is that weird noise I'm hearing?
The ringing, yeah.
You're ringing, but you're on.
My tablet thinks that you haven't picked up.
Oh, tablet, I've picked up. Let me put you on hold for a second. I'll try and, I'll put you on hold for a second.
Right.
All right, I'm going to bring him back on.
No, still ringing. Let me try it from my end.
Okay. Well, now he just hung up on himself. It's either a phone or a really weird bird. I'm going with the really weird bird thing. I don't know why I'm so quiet. I'm waiting for him to get back. No, he didn't. No, he didn't call back. All right. Hold on a second, folks. I was just looking at something really cool. Not cool, but it's cool. As you know, since we were on Saturday, you know, I did all the updates. I didn't know if I was going to have another one. I just noticed Golden Girl had just posted this a few minutes ago. I'm going to do the updates, as you know, the successor games, Heroes and Villains, and the Phoenix Project. I'm going to start off with Heroes and Villains. This is update number 34. It's been 34 weeks since we've, you know, since they've started this. Wow. All right, here we go. Update number 34. This week, we've started work on putting hard numbers to abstract concepts as part of the development of the power system, which is absolutely fundamental to how the entire game fits together. For example, what is fast? Recharge, what is medium damage, what is a small boost to regeneration. By nailing down actual numbers for these vague concepts, we can start to create the entire framework of power stats. We'll have a universal measurement of what fast, medium, small, moderate, and so on means in numerical terms that can then be applied to every single power in the game, as well as all related concepts like ways to boost the effectiveness of your powers, and even crafting and vendor prices. Obviously, this isn't something that could be done in a couple of days and then signed off on. It'll be a careful process of weighing up the values and relationships between the different terms and what they should mean in numbers, as well as fulfilling the expectations of the community for what they should mean. We've also encountered and corrected a problem with how the AI handles the range between the player and NPCs. It has seemingly been calculated the distance based on a fixed point in the area, rather than the shifting distance between the player and their target. But we've now altered the calculation to work correctly. Have a heroic film this weekend, the heroes and villains team. Well, there you go. Okay, let's try and bring him on again. Hello?
Very good.
All right. I figured I'd read that whole thing and then try. How are you tonight, sir?
Pretty good. Problems with my laptop, though. I'm having to have part of it replaced.
Ugh.
Wireless interface decided it was going to hang up on me.
Of course. So.
Fortunately, it's the user installable card, so I can just return the dead card and give me a new one.
I have found with Skype and Blog Talk that there is no infallible system. Everything will fall apart. Everything will not work. It is just the way of things. I don't know why. It just does these things.
The place I referred to earlier, Canada Steak Burger, is a little hole-in-the-wall burger place that I've been going to since 1982.
Oh, okay. Very cool.
One of the things that I really like from them is it's burgers and Greek food.
Interesting.
One of their specials is burgers with gyros meat on them.
Hmm.
Instead of a bacon burger, which they also have.
I see.
And if you're really hungry, you can get a double 8-ounce burger.
I don't know if I want that.
Well, there's 4, 6, and 8-ounce burgers, and you can get each of those doubled. So depending on how hungry you are.
That's true. I remember up here. I'm sorry, go ahead.
One of the news stations here has run a Best Burger in San Diego competition. This place has won it 2 years in a row.
Cool. I was just saying, I'm trying to remember where it is up here. They closed the place down. They had some kind of weird burger challenge. It had to be like a 4 or 5 pound burger.
And
if you eat it's one of those places, like, if you eat the whole thing, you get it for free.
Yeah, there's one like that somewhere in the Midwest, and there's another one that I remember seeing on Man vs. Food on the Food Network.
Oh. But what's funny is I think that place closed down or they switched owners and they took a deal off the menu. But I do remember we have this place up here, J&R Steakhouse. And I don't know if you have them out there. And they had this challenge. I forget how big the steak was. I want to say 72-ounce steak. I think that's what it was. And I'm like, oh, my God, I couldn't eat that. And if you did it, you got your face on the Wall of Fame there. Well, this one guy, scrawny-looking guy, he was up. Like, he came once a month for, like, 4 months. He did it 4 months in a row.
Okay.
And it's like, damn.
Practicing for the hot dog eating competition in Coney Island.
Oh, I guess so. I can never do that. I can't eat hot dogs. So. You want to beat me in one of those things? Just eat one and you beat me. I'm totally allergic to those things.
I imagine it would depend on the hot dog, one of the chicken or turkey dogs.
It's sodium nitrite, and I actually found that the turkey ones and chicken ones are actually worse than the regular ones.
I know where I can find locally ones without the sodium nitrite, but it's a specialty item, and I don't know if you'd be able to find them in your area.
No, you know what it is? I don't, like, when I hear the nitrite free, I don't even trust them, because, you know, every time they say it, they do admit it's like 0.0000001% of it in there. And that's considered nitrite free or whatever. I'm like, but it's still in there. I can't have it. So.
No, this was a German place, and it was made fresh using just meat in the casings.
Hmm.
But they had to move the store, and I've never found them again.
Huh. Well, I tell people, you know, if you want to eat them. Sure, I have bacon once on a blue moon. I'll have, like, less than once a month, I'll have it. Like, when I have a burger, I'll put one small piece of bacon on it, and it seems like I get very flush after, like, I start to get flush afterwards, and that's my warning. Like, okay, I had just enough. I had just any more, and I would have had a headache or something like that. But there was one time I overdid the bacon, and my face got red, and I was just sweating like crazy, and I had to take a whole bunch of Advil. So I know, okay, I overdid it. So if you don't mind while you're on the air, since we're doing, I want to read the Phoenix Project update.
Certainly.
This is from Wednesday, July 24th, and usually Sega reads that this is by Lauren. Now, he was posted for Lauren by Zombie Man, so here we go. Cameron, otherwise known as Sega, who usually does the update, is up to his neck in the nitty-gritty this week. So I stepped in to do a quick update in the interim. I'll be just like the good old days when I rambled on a lot, except, well, different. Part of the reason that Sega is so busy is that we've been working on a bit of a shuffle around behind the scenes, the sort of thing that isn't very interesting to write about, but is important to make sure that the project is functioning as efficiently as we could do, particularly important with volunteer labor. I'm sure you're probably sick to death about hearing about the Kickstarter. We're staying ahead with that, and I'm in the process of lining up a series of interviews in the run-up to September, which we hope will help to bring a few more people into the Missing Worlds Media community and hopefully help us achieve our Kickstarter target. The guys have already carried out interviews with Polygon, which I will read in a few minutes, and Ink Gamer, I didn't see that one, and we've got a few more lined up with EjectDisc.com, Games on Net, as well as podcast interviews with Plus 10 Damage and Critical Hit being arranged, which we're hoping will start to filter out over next year. If you guys want to, you come on here. They haven't been on in a while. They didn't even ask me if they wanted to do it. A couple of our developers look set to be heading to Gen Con Indy 2013. While we don't have an official presence there, we're hoping to be able to hand out a few flyers and help to make yet more people aware of our existence. Gen Con has a lot of people excited, as Mercedes Lackey, who was so instrumental in the Save CH campaign and helped to lead the Hail Mary charge, has been named the guest of honor. Oh, very cool. If you're going to Gen Con, let us know. If you can help hand out flyers or just fancy meeting up with a couple of our devs, we'd love to hear from you. Sega is hoping to write about the reshuffle of MWM once it's been completed, but, well, at the moment, he's just a bit too busy doing it to actually write about doing it. Other than that, the only thing I have to offer you is this little video. It's a sneak peek at the launcher that some of the development team have been working on. I saw that. It's just a quick thing. It's just the main page, and you get to log in your information. I can't wait for it to have something to connect to. The first time I saw it, I was really rooting for it to connect to a server. Soon, with your help at least, and that was Lauren. And before I close the page, I'm going to post a reply. Of course, I have to log in because I haven't been on this page in a while. Just give me a second, guys. So there you go. Wow, okay. Why won't it let me log on? Oh, I know why. Okay, it's not letting me log on. Don't forget it then. If anybody knows anybody from Missing World Media, pass the word on that I'd be happy to have them on. They could talk about the Kickstarter. even though we've been doing that for weeks here. Let's see. Okay, I had the polygon here. Okay, you can read that. Again, busy day. I didn't have time to pre-read a lot of this stuff. So, all right, here we go. From Polygon, City of Heroes successor built on blood, sweat, and Kickstarter. Missing Worlds Media will launch its Kickstarter campaign for the Phoenix Project, the spiritual successor to superhero MMO City of Heroes, on September 8th. The studio is terribly excited and maybe a little nervous. Last fall, Paragon Studios closed its doors and shut down City of Heroes due to a realignment of company focus and publishing support at parent company NCSoft. Players continue to support the MMO and its developers through its final days, and Paragon Studios made a bid to purchase the game outright from NCSoft in a last effort to save it. But in a new year, a new hope arose. A group of programmers, designers, and City of Heroes fans announced a new community-based studio, Missing Worlds Media. Missing Worlds, they said, would create the spiritual successor to the game they had lost, one that would capture the spirit and feel of City of Heroes. On September 8th, Missing Worlds will launch a Kickstarter campaign to raise funding for the Phoenix Project, its answer to the woe City of Heroes closing left behind. Technical director Nate Downs told Polygon, the Phoenix Project is already about one quarter to one third complete, and 20% of the game's code is done, but that's being optimistic, as he put it. Down said that the entire project is currently staffed by volunteers, many of them with other equally demanding day jobs. The project has grown out of the community. Oops, sorry about that. Where am I? Sorry, my screen just flashed for a second. The project has grown out of the community that was left behind when City of Heroes closed. So it's really just a lot of passionate people getting together to rebuild that home for themselves, he said. It's an all-volunteer project of 136 people right now. Missing World Studio Director Cameron Johnson said that a handful of Phoenix Project developers are still full-time students in college and graduate school, and a few are one of those house husband thingies, as Towns describes himself. The project needs funding, and using Kickstarter will provide the campaign with some reputability. Sorry about that. As it is the most popular and trusted crowd-funded platform. Johnson said Missing World has been using Epic Games' Unreal Engine to build the Phoenix Project, and the company has been willing to cooperate with the indie studio's current lack of funds. Epic has licensed the game to Missing World with promise of payment later once the Kickstarter campaign is closed. What defines the Phoenix Project as a City of Heroes spiritual success, Johnson believes, is the attention to detail put into the game's character creator. The most popular thing from City of Heroes was the flexible avatar creator, he said. The way characters looked rarely, if you had any direct impact on the game, but players wanted to make their characters as superhero-y or villainous as they wanted. We wanted to produce our own avatar builder so people could start playing like that again. The avatar creator has more of our attention on it, more than any other aspects of the game, because it's something we could put out there relatively soon, he added. Noting the company hopes to launch the creator by next as well as an app for mobile devices shortly after. The avatar builder goes towards that high level of customization you want. You build your character and get to play the game you want to play. The investment in a player-created character directly correlates to how satisfied players are with the avatar's appearance, according to Downs. It's the number one complaint we hear from people playing other games. You can either make your character look the way you want or behave the way you want, he said. Like in World of Warcraft, you get perfect armor for how you want your character to look, but to make them perform just the right way, you have to wear the same suit of armor everyone else in the game has. Missing Worlds wants the look and feel of the Phoenix Project to be as close as possible to that of City of Heroes, but with a more mature Avengers tone. And let me try that again. With a more mature Avengers tone rather than that Saturday morning cartoon, customization will be a key as players will be able to tailor their special powers as well as how those powers look visually. Costume-wise, Downs said the team is aiming for 20 different options for each avatar's 18 different areas as launch. And color options available for each costume piece as well. The Phoenix Project will also include a lead system, which will replace the traditional questing mechanic for something a little more involved, Johnson said. Players will find clues that they can then piece together on their own and decide if there's a deeper mission to accomplish involving them. This will give players more agency in finding and completing quests, rather than having to approach and to talk to various NPCs to get things moving. It doesn't necessarily change much, but it gives a powerful feeling to payers, and that they're not feeling like someone's errand boy, Johnson said. The game will hit Windows PC first, with the Mac version coming later. The mobile character creator is something the company feels strongly about having available as soon as possible, and there are no plans to bring the game to consoles. The campaign will launch on September 8th, and Missing Worlds is hoping, should funding be successful, to get the Phoenix Project in players' hands by the end of 2015. There you go. And then also on Massively, really quick, I think they pretty much said the same thing. Let's see here. Okay, this is really short compared to what I just read. This is from Massively. One of the candidates vying to be the spiritual successor for the City of Heroes will be moving into its fundraising stage come this September. Missing Worlds Media's The Phoenix Project is preparing a Kickstarter campaign for September 8th. The team says that if all goes well, read, the project gets the moolah it needs, the title could be launched by the end of 2015, although it's hoping to get an avatar creator in our hands by next summer. In an interview with Polygon, technical director Nate Downs said the project is 25-33% done, although the game is being made completely by 136 volunteers who have other jobs or are full-time students. The Phoenix Project is being built using the Unreal Engine, as Epic has licensed the engine to Missing World with no money down until the team gets funded. Downs hopes the fans will continue to rally to the cause. The project has grown out of the community that was left behind when City of Heroes closed. So it's really just a lot of passionate people getting together to rebuild a home for themselves. And there you have it. And as we said, that Kickstarter starts September 8th. Just over a month away. So save your money, kids.
I noticed in one of the comments talking about this being another example of fan art, and I was remembering an article I found this morning about a man named Alexander Velicki who created a rather unique resume applying for a job at Bethesda Software.
What did he do?
It was a mod that added 25 hours of gameplay to Skyrim.
Really?
Including one-third again the map size, 29 people of voice acting, and over 100 people helping him. It took him 2,000 hours of work to do this.
Wow.
And there's a video trailer for his mod that I'm putting up in the chat.
Okay, so if any of you Skyrim players are out there, look, my nephew is listening. there you go. My nephew loves Skyrim.
He figured the best way to show Bethesda what he was capable of is to drop something in their laps.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, really.
And from the looks of the trailer, it's pretty well done.
All right, let me see if I get the trailer up here. All right, I will look at that after the show. All right, I'll check that out later. So there you go. I find that very interesting. Oh, I don't believe I did that.
Gotta come up with some way to stand from all the other job applicants.
True. Oh, Deidre says we can talk about hookers. I think that was comment from before when we said, "What do you guys want to talk about?" So.
Well, it's been a long time since I've done any crochet.
What was that?
It's been a long time since I've done any crochet, but.
Oh.
But I'm pumped.
Very good. So, okay. Oh, movie news, since, you know, superhero. The Wolverine opens today. With you, Jack. And I heard that it's actually supposed to be much better than the last Wolverine movie they did.
Well, it's another movie that I plan on waiting for a few days until the mad rush of fanboys die down.
Yes, I am too.
Even though I could have gone to an early morning presentation today because of having time off from the furlough.
Ah. You know, I missed Man of Steel. I still haven't seen Pacific Rim. And
what did you think of Pacific Rim?
I didn't see it yet. I haven't seen it yet.
Go see it and watch it as just an action movie. Don't try to get anything real intent.
That's exactly what I expect. Like I told somebody one time when they did that live-action Rocky and Bullwinkle movie, they said it was okay. You know, it wasn't – I swear to God, this is what they said. It isn't like Academy Award material. I'm like, it's Rocky and Bullwinkle. Did you really expect any deep meaning out of it? It's a live-action movie based on a popular cartoon that came out ages ago. You know, so basically I tell people, you know, look at the material and just take it for what it's worth and have fun with it. But yeah, I want to see the giant robots fight the giant monsters and have fun with it.
I forget whether I brought this up last week, but you ever started to think that movies are becoming formulaic in the way they lay out the plot events?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
It turns out that there is a book that describes this.
I wouldn't be surprised.
The book is titled Save the Cat. And it consists of description of a detailed recipe with step-by-step instructions. Now, based on the fact that in filming movies, a page of script is about 1 minute of film. So this details where things go in the movie.
Okay.
So let me put up a link to this.
Okay, let me check this out here. I know I have a book by J. Michael Straczynski, script writing.
You have the opening image that sets up the conflict, and then you have the theme stated at the somewhere in the 5 to 10 minute mark. The story, the catalyst to start the story midway through the first act, the shootout at the midpoint, an all is lost moment somewhere between 75 and 80 minutes, and the final act. And the article here gives examples from several movies of how they break down into the various components.
So basically, it's breaking down all movies into a formula.
Yeah, where if you look at a bunch of these movies, you can see that they're adhering almost slavishly to the formula.
I always think a good script almost writes itself sometimes. You know, like if you have the characters develop well, if you have everything going well, just, you know, go along with it, see where it goes, and go, okay, that works. Charlotte Corby says, since there's so much money riding on a movie making money, the formula's shown itself to be the best bet. Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know. I mean, there's some movies I don't think that follow a formula that are really...
And he put,
you know, good.
It's like Jurassic Park, which has virtually all the elements in this guy's beat sheet. They're out of order and out of proportion.
Oh, really?
Whereas you compare that to The Amazing Spider-Man, which follows his formula beat by beat.
Huh.
There's a reason even Steven Spielberg is complaining that Hollywood was too reliant on formulaic blockbusters.
I don't know. I want some originality in a movie. I really do. Yeah, the Blockbuster's failing because they're all following the same formulas, and there's nothing, you know, there's nothing unique or original about it. I think that's what it is. I think it's just the same thing over and over again. That's all you're getting.
Well, you wind up with the same basic plot line, and you're either having a special effects fest, which only
right.
Look at how much money Avatar made compared to being Pocahontas meets the Blue Man Group or Dances with Smurfs, depending on how you describe it.
Right. And what's funny is I watched the beginning of that movie, and I predicted the ending right away.
Oh, yeah. It's real clear how that movie's going to play out as soon as you find out about the Avatar program.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, like within the first 5 minutes, like, oh, I see where this is going. I mean, it was cool how they got there. I like the fact that there's the alien world. And, you know.
It's very pretty.
Yes. It was. Scarlett Colby says, well, remember, in our 40s, we've seen these plots a lot. Teens have not.
Well, yeah. Those of us who've been around a while have seen them over and over and over again.
Exactly. Like, I get mad, like, now, nah, like I said, I'd rather see a new movie based on a comic book than, oh, we're going to do a remake of a TV show or movie we've done before.
Well, the remakes are of a successful property, so of course they're going to be more successful and something they have to take a chance on.
Are you sure they're successful? I mean, a lot of reboots are not successful.
I'm talking about the way the executives think. You know,
oh, okay.
Look at Hill Street Blues and all the ripoffs it spawned.
Right. Well, spinoffs are different than remakes, so.
You know, Hollywood is the past master of taking something that was successful in the past and projecting it into being successful in the future, whether or not that's true. And Corby is right. If you're doing something as a remake, you know you've got a minimum audience that you may not have with something completely off the wall.
Okay, well, I'm going to say this here because I saw Corby saying this in the chat. Unknown is scary. Hollywood equals conservative when it comes to money. Well, okay, they did the remake of The Lone Ranger, and I heard the movie bombed. So, was playing safe.
Lone Ranger and his faithful Indian sidekick, Jack Sparrow.
Right. And I heard it was just bombed. Because they figured Johnny Depp would pull it out. Well, no. Somehow I figured he wasn't going to be able to do it unless they had somebody else helping him.
Now, if you
since
look
it's really, that's a character. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
U.S. box office for Pacific Rim, it's not doing real well here in the U.S., but
really?
From overseas, it's apparently doing gangbusters.
Huh. Probably because of the source material.
And if you go and watch it, you'll see that they've done a really commendable job of keeping a multinational feel to it. It's not the here we are, we're Americans, we're the big powerhouse. The Americans get beat up just as bad as everybody else.
Yes, that's what I've heard. So.
You've got the American Jaeger, there's an Australian Jaeger, there's a Chinese Jaeger, there's a Russian Jaeger. There are a bunch of other nationalities that you get referenced, and I think some video clips of you don't see full on in the movie.
Okay.
Remember, I think there's a Peruvian or Argentine one, I forget which.
Hmm.
And Pacific Rim has spawned its own wiki.
It's Scar Court just said, then there's one Jaeger over them all, the Jaegermeister.
Yeah, but some people don't like the flavor.
Well, the Jaegermeister must reign supreme.
Oh, one random tip, stay through the credits.
Yeah, I've heard. I usually do. We usually try to stay through the credits. Like me and my nephew go, and we usually try to because we know. We're just so used to it now, like hearing about, don't forget, there's a hidden scene. Yeah, there's an Easter egg in there for you guys. So, I mean, we even stayed for The Dark Knight Rises. And you know, the last one, we were waiting for something like, oh, there's nothing? We stayed. Like, they could have put something there for us, but nothing.
Goes to town on his character.
What was that?
Ron Perlman goes to town with his character.
Yeah, I heard he's phenomenal in that movie.
The comment I ran across on the net that where he says he's a massive asshole and he's playing a massive asshole, so he's just able to run with it.
Well, that makes sense. He's getting it. I heard he was getting it, but when I first heard about the movie, the character he has isn't the character I was expecting him to play. So I guess then I will check the movie listings.
Character, but he steals the scenes he's in.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, he usually does, so. That would be good to see. I just want to see giant robots fighting giant monsters on the big screen.
And the fights really do have a lot of the flavor of the 1960s kaiju movies.
Oh, very cool. That's what I want to see.
With a couple of random touches from the Japanese giant robot anime.
Cool. Is there any tribute to Godzilla in the movie at all?
That would be telling.
Okay, never mind. Never mind. Yeah, Triple S, hey, they have me a giant robot. Yeah, I know, it's a giant robot. What? Live action? Holy smokes.
Well, it's as live as anything done with computer graphics can be.
Well, that's, I mean, it's not animated. You know, I think that's what they mean by live act. It's not animated, so. I think as long as it's not animated, I could, you know.
Although I really would like to, if I were commanding a giant robot like that, I want to have a better control cockpit.
Yeah, hold on a minute. Scarlet Corby says, Transformers Dark Side of the Moon had giant robots. No, I don't like the Transformer movies. It's just the fact that outside of Bumblebee, it's very, or Optimus Prime, it's very hard to tell the robots apart. And just some, like, the way the fights go, it doesn't make sense.
So, does a Transformer get life insurance or car insurance?
Yes. I think the answer would be both. But, now, I'm just not happy with the movie. Yes, I know they're more than meets the eye, comment from the chat, and I do know for a fact the guy, the voice actor who did Optimus Prime in the 80s, has been doing the voice for Optimus Prime in these movies. They said that was definitely a thing they wanted to get. They wanted him
everything
to
I've
do the
seen
voices.
Transformers movies, I think the special effects people went way over the top from the anime vehicles that turn into robots into, we can add all kinds of Greeblies to all these, so let's do it, no matter
yeah.
how much it's up the profiles of the characters. The more detail is better, right?
Sure. I really wish they would do something different with the Transformers, like make them each like unique and distinct looking. But they want to do their own thing with it, so.
Well, there's a limit to what influence we have other than not buying the ticket.
True, true. I just thought it was funny that these transformers that weigh tons and tons, maybe hundreds of tons each, were fighting on the side of the pyramid, one of the great like the pyramids in Egypt, and nothing happened to the pyramid. I was expecting some kind of cave-in, some collapse of the pyramid. No, nothing.
Well, it's the pyramid is mostly a solid pile of sandstone blocks, so it's other than breaking pieces off, you're not going to have people falling through.
But you know, but nothing broke away. They were all exactly intact. Oh, Scarlett says advanced lightweight material. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know. And how lightweight would they be for that size?
They're obviously made with the unobtainium they get from Pandora.
That's true. Suspend, you just believe it. I will, but geez, I'm just saying, if there's a 200-ton robot on the side of a pyramid running up the thing, I want to see chunks of stone flying through the air because he's running. Triple H says...
Spending your disbelief, hanging, drawing, and quartering it.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Triple H says, movie special effects these days have overtaken the story and acting and everything else. I'm not a fan of that. I mean, it's pretty, but after about five of those movies, they look the same. Yeah, exactly. They all look the same. Give me a movie, you know. And like I said, this is what I said before Batman Begins came out. It seemed like every, I'm going back to superhero movies for a moment, every superhero movie, it was just like, oh, they're superheroes. They could do this and that, and we're going to do shit that doesn't make any sense because they're superheroes. No. We've seen that crap, and it didn't work. Batman Begins, you know, followed pretty much the source material they used, had an intelligent story. It explained why he's got all this equipment, how he got the suit, the car, all the equipment, the cave, you know, the whole bit, his training. And, wow, people love that movie. Same thing with Iron Man. I'm not a fan of the Iron Man in the comic books. I loved Robert Downey Jr.'s Iron Man, though, from the movies, the three movie Iron Man movies, and the Avengers movie.
Iron Man, despite being a superhero in the movies, gets beaten up because he's not a professional superhero.
Well, yes, that's true.
He makes mistakes. I remember a comment about how the title of Batman Begins misses the subheading, which is not to suck again.
Yes.
After the abortion that was the previous two movies.
Oh, God. Okay, I really didn't have a problem with Val Kilmer when Val Kilmer played Batman. I really didn't have a problem with that movie. But good Lord, Joel Schumacher, you should have learned from your mistakes. You went way over the top. And I even said this after I saw that. We saw that movie opening night with some friends. The Batman fanboy in me just cried. And I just came in, oh my God. And even from like the first 5 minutes of the movie, oh my God, he's just killed the entire franchise. It's going to be at least 10 years before we see another, or about 10 years before we see another Batman movie.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, if there is any example of more wrong casting.
Oh, Uma Thurman, I'm sorry. If that's the way they wanted her to act, what was with the melodramatic acting in that movie? It's like the script is horrible, the acting was horrible. What was her name? Felicia Silverstone? What the hell was she? She looked absolutely horrible for that movie.
If they'd gone back to Batman the Animated Series and taken the performance of Mr. Freeze out of that series and played it that way.
Yes.
That would have been awesome.
That would have been great. As a matter of fact, I think I went home that weekend and watched Batman the Animated Series. I mean, that was a great cartoon. It was even nominated for Emmys. That's how good the show was. So. We But I mean, oh my god! I mean, I could just go on and on. I mean, I haven't seen that movie since it came out, and I could just go down the list of everything that was so wrong with that Batman and Robin movie.
It's like Poison Ivy got a blood transfusion from the Joker and turned her insane.
Oh, I'm not even talking about that. I'm just like, her acting was horrible in that, as that character.
Well, that's what I mean. There were large chunks of her acting that made no sense at all for the character.
All the villains were horrible. George Clooney should never have been cast as Batman. Felicia Silverstone should not have been in that movie. I don't even know why they had to introduce Batgirl and the way they did it.
Because they were trying to get another potential spinoff.
Oh, God.
If the movie had done well, I would be willing to bet there would have had at least one, if not two, Batgirl movies.
I'm so glad they didn't, because she was absolutely horrible in that one.
Which reminds me of a comment about the Supergirl movie. Superman in the same movie, world, Supergirl saves her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
I think fundamental dichotomy in the way movies treat male and female superheroes.
That was another piss poor movie. I'm sorry, the only Superman movie I liked was Superman 2. Yes, Carl, it would be nice to see Katie Sackhoff as Captain Marvel. Yeah, you're right.
The first movie felt like they were trying to feel
out...
No,
I'm sorry. The first one I saw it as a kid. I just wish there was more of a plot and more action in the first one. That was great if you look at a role, because the first one set up the foundation for what should have been a very strong franchise. Superman 2 validated Superman 1, but then 3 and 4 just shot the whole series to shit. I mean, Superman 3 was ridiculous, and Superman 4 not as ridiculous as the third one, but still absurd. It was full of absurdities.
Oh, random bit of news that happened last week. There was a family that was being foreclosed on, so they were packing to move out of their house.
Okay.
They were cleaning out the basement, and they found a box of comics, including a copy of Action Comics number 1.
Okay, you know what's funny about that? We had a story about that here on Long Island, and that happened about a year or two ago.
This was just a week or two ago.
And where was this?
I can't. Let me see if I can pull it up.
Okay. Because I swear it was like a year or two ago we heard the story here where this family, they were getting ready to move out. They were desperate. And they were just cleaning stuff out of the basement, getting ready to move out. And they found a box of the dad's stuff or the grandfather's stuff who had passed away. And it was a perfect Action Comics, number 1. So.
No, the one I was reading about, it's very good to find, and they're only expected to get like $250,000 out of it. It's not like they found a mint copy that will get the millions, but it's
because this family, the one I'm talking about, yeah, they got like over $1 million for it. It was like in perfect condition.
No, so this is something that had been sitting in a random box of comics and was what you'd expect to find in an unprotected comic that's that old.
Hmm.
So it's a rare comic, but not a great one.
Okay. I think it's funny. All these people are finding this comic. It's just weird. It's like anytime some people are really in desperate needs of money to save their house, they find this comic book in their basement. It's just crazy like that. It's just very odd. Let's see here. All right, so I'm going to say this again, If anybody would like to join us on air, you have one of two ways of doing so. You call in. The show I'm Malloy did at 646-478. I'm sorry, let me try that again. My mouth rambled on without me. 646-478-0073. Or if you happen to be one of the many people in our chat room, you scroll to the top of the page. There's a blue square with a white S in the middle. That white S stands for Skype. Yeah, click on that, and it's a free call into the studio. And as I always say, free is good in today's economy. And there you go. I don't know if she's ready to talk yet. Deidre?
Yeah. Oh.
I'll put you back on hold. Okay, sorry about that. You there? Sean?
Yep. Still here.
Okay. Okay. Sorry, Deidre was ready. I just saw she had called back in, so. Well, the Triple S says, I guess if they're not desperate, they don't go rooting through the old comic boxes. Stuck in a corner of the basement, forgotten with the baseball cards. Yeah. Depending on what they are, they can still get money. And the Fabergé eggs, yeah. All these silly little things we have that are worth money.
They're using all of the missing copies of Action Comics number 1 to pack in around the Fabergé eggs so they don't get broken.
Oof. Can you imagine selling that collection? I think I'll sell this, see what I get for it.
I think if you have a time machine, go back and buy the other two dozen Fabergé eggs.
Oh, my God. I would love to go back in time and buy, like, old comic books. Like, even just stop, like... what was I going to say? Like, even if you got to go back in time and, like, just stop once every month for, like, 10 minutes.
Buy a couple and get old of Halloid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Not even. Just a set. Oh, time travel messes things up. It depends if it messes up. Oh, believe me, Scarlett, try this. What'd you do, Scarlett? Did you touch my TARDIS? Ooh, Triple Ash. I looked through my old Magic the Gathering card once. I found this one card. It was worth $6. Scarlett, I told you not to touch my TARDIS, and this is why. I still have a couple of first edition mocks. I don't know what those are. Hold on.
They're cards that produce, an artifact that produces one mana in color.
I'm sorry, what was that?
They're a card that you can tap to generate one mana of a particular color.
Oh, I see. Okay. Triple S selling moxes, man. Moxes. I'm so sorry. I don't know these things. Please forgive me. I don't know what I did or do. I did not know. Oh, Scarlett says I've lost nerd cred. Oh, well. I'm so sorry. No mocks for you. No mocks for me. I know not what I did. I'm sorry. I don't know what I did. I apologize. Please forgive me. I'll be required to play a full game of Yu-Gi-Oh! In Pet. I don't play those collectible card games. I'm sorry. Oh, and this was just brought to my attention. October 10th through the 13th of this year at the Javits Center in New York City is the New York Comic Con. I did not know that. Dare I try and go? There's only 78 days left. 78 days, 15 hours, 26 minutes, and 45 seconds. According to their countdown. I'm just quickly looking over here at the list of who's going to be there. A lot of people look like they're going to be there. Okay, I have to go. My favorite comic book writer of all time, Chris Claremont, is going to be there. He's the one who got me... When I started reading X-Men, I was like, I want to write comic books for a living. I'm still trying to get published, but still, he's the guy who inspired me. Yes, Chris Claremont, you know, the Godfather.
Chris Claremont screwed up the X-Men.
How did he screw them up? He saved them.
Well, I admit he didn't screw up as badly as Milton Kevich did.
Wait, hold on. Before he took over, they were on the verge of canceling the X-Men.
Well, he ran a cycle of building them up and running them into the ground. But still, he did a better job with it than some of the other artists they've put on it.
Oh, yeah. And I remember it was a sad day when he left. I remember, what was it? The second X-Men series they did? Jim Lee did the artwork, if I remember. Chris Claremont wrote it. They said one issue or 1 month, they had 7 million copies of 1 month of circulation. Yeah, Sir West, they would have been X-Men. Actually, we probably wouldn't even have heard of them. We'd probably just laugh about them because it was during the 60s when the original X-Men, and they couldn't get it to sell. And this story I've always heard, and it got to the point with the X-Men that they actually, in the late 60s, very early 70s, they went to bi-monthly publishing, and a lot of those issues were reprints. So...
Although the multiple cover idiocy.
Well, it was just the fact that they couldn't get this thing to sell, so they said screw it. They were just going to do reprints and try and get more people back into, you know, because word was getting around about the book, but that didn't help. And then he came in and he brought in the new X-Men, you know, Colossus, Wolverine, Nightcrawler, Storm. He brought them in. Did he kill off the... Even if he did, I think he's the one who created them. Hold on. I want to see how much tickets are. Oh, you're kidding me. 3-day tickets, 3-day and 4-day passes are sold out. I wanted to go. Alright, so because I missed out on the 3-day and 4-day tickets, ready for the prices? Thursday's $30 because I guarantee you no one goes. Friday is $40, Saturday is $50, Sunday is $40. Thank you. I know Simonson killed Cypher. Claremont created him. See? So. I will save that for later. I might go.
too far away for me without prior planning.
It's an hour and a half away. I might be better off going on Friday, though. It's cheaper on Friday, and right now I'm not working, so I could probably go all day. So
get up and get there when they open.
Yeah, Friday, $40 too. Yeah, it seems like cheap because Thursday's $30, but almost I guarantee you nothing's going on Thursday. And $40 tickets. Friday, yeah, Friday is like one of the longer days. It's 10 a.m. to 7. And Saturday's 10 a.m. to 7, so I might be better off going on this Friday. Because I guarantee you, even though there might be a ton of people there on Friday, I guarantee you Saturday's going to be more packed.
Always.
So I might do the safe thing and just go in there and for the Javits Center. I'm just looking at they don't even have their full schedule up yet, so I'll just keep that in mind. I'm just going to save that for later. Okay, never mind. Let's get back. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Hold it as a possibility until you see what they're going to have. Because there's no point in paying that much just for the dealer's room.
True. Well, I just want to go get Chris Claremont to autograph some of my comic books, so I think that would be awesome. So invite him out for beers. I would love to sit down and have a beer and talk to that guy all night just about writing comic books. That would be awesome.
Heroes and Villains?
I'm sorry, what?
Anything interesting coming out of Heroes and Villains?
Oh, I just read an update before. I thought you were listening here. You were in the chat room when I read the update.
No, you read the Phoenix Project.
No, I did do the... No, when you were on air, I did the Phoenix Project, but right before you called in, I was doing the...
Okay.
Let me refresh my memory here. Oh, my God. Why does it seem like so long? Yeah, because they just posted right before we went on air. Hold on. Just trying to remind myself. Oh, they're working on the hard numbers. For example, like, what's a fast... charge, what a medium damage will be, what's a small boost to regeneration. So they're working on coming up with a system to determine those hard numbers. Also, they had a problem with their tracking where it wasn't true. Like if an NPC was coming towards you and you clicked on it, it wasn't tracking from the NPC. It was tracking from a fixed point on the screen.
Oh.
So they just corrected that. So. Now, those little things... really add up, so. Oh, let me tell you, I think last weekend or the weekend before, they had the Wizard World experience in New York City. Oh, my God, the prices were so ridiculous. Even if I had the money, I probably wouldn't have even gone.
Wizard World?
Wizard World, yeah. You know, Wizard, the comic book magazine.
Okay, that's the one. That's what I was thinking you were talking about. But there were a couple of other things, including Harry Potter, that could have fallen out from that.
Oh no! This is the Wizard World experience. This is Wizard, and they do things, and they had stuff set up by the pier, and it was out. Most of it was outside, but it was just like, oh, come meet Stan Lee. Yeah, those tickets are like $200.
Gee, that's like Comic Con.
Oh, my, yeah, it was like, oh, did you want to come meet this one or do this day? That's $65 or $100. You know, it was just like, wow, really?
I'm dying you to death, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but even before you even got there, I was looking at the prices, and they didn't even offer package deals. You had to buy each day's tickets. So you couldn't buy a 3-day. You had to buy a Friday, a Saturday, or Sunday. Friday was the cheapest. Saturday was the most expensive. Sunday was the cheapest. And Friday and Saturday, I swear they charged the same. And that was just basic, just to get in. And then if you want to do anything else after that. What the hell happened to really like one price and you got in for the entire thing? And why the hell they charge so much?
Because they can get away with it.
I guess so.
The fans aren't complaining badly enough and staying away.
True.
As long as they could sell whatever number their goal of memberships is, they have no reason to change.
Exactly. All right, we have about 15 minutes left in this show. A friend of mine texted me, well, I forgot about this. I hope he's listening. He wanted me to play this song tonight. He's one of the DJs for the show, but he said this song would be more appropriate for us to do. If I could find it, I will play it for him.
Give me a chance to get a drink then.
All right, hold on. I'm going to refresh the studio page, so hold on a second. I hope we're still here. Okay, we're still here. Thank God I have two computers. I got the soundboard up on two different systems. So, because he said he was uploading it while I was talking before, so I couldn't. Ah, here we go. All right, I'm going to play this for Mike. It's Miracle Sound Joker song. It's going to be about 3.5 minutes. So go refresh your drinks for the final 10 minutes of the show, 12 minutes of the show. We'll be right back with Save City of Heroes Radio. Well, that was an interesting song. Miracle of Sound, Joker song.
Yeah.
There you go. I think next we got to find a Batman song to play in in Counterpoint. That was very cool. Alright, so we have about 11 minutes left in the show. I guess the big finale coming up. So
we finally get...
What?
Where we finally get Deidre to talk?
No, she hung up. She's still working, so I think it was hard for her to stay on, so...
Yeah, having the boss walking over and seeing your screen can get a little pissy.
Well, she had it up on her cell phone, on her mobile phone, whatever she's got there. So, I guess she left it on long enough to do whatever. So.
I can't get away with
work. Oh, God, yeah, I can never get away with anything. I mean, I would sit down on my break and just log on the computer and a manager come by and go, I've been watching, I think you've been on long enough. So, like, well, if you're watching, you saw I just logged on, I have an hour break. And I've only been on for a minute.
Well, with me, it's because when I'm sitting at my desk, the wall behind my desk is concrete and there's dirt on the other side of it because I'm underground.
Ah.
I don't have a Wi-Fi signal.
Oh, okay.
And I don't want to on my work computer because that gets traced.
Oh. And again, I think I'm going to have to do that U-Torn thing this weekend to try and download City of Heroes so I can get back into the thingamajiggy. Yes, yes. Sorry, I'm thingamajiggy. The icon. I don't know. I tried all week and it just wouldn't go, so I'm going to try and re-download the program. And see what I can do with that. Because what's happening is I click on the thing through uTorrent to start and go... I don't know, that's fine, never mind. Right, okay, so now it opens the window. And I get this thing, COH beta file holder. And that's the one open, right? The COH beta file... What am I supposed to do with this thing?
It's a zip file, right?
It just says file folder.
Okay, and that should be the installed, all of the files, and so you just drop it in the directory.
Wait, but it is the directory. No, what I'm saying, I have no directory to drop it into. That's what I'm saying here.
Well,
where am I dropping it into? What directory? This one's confusing me. What directory?
It's an installed program. You can pretty much drop it anywhere.
You mean like on my screen, like on a screen or whatever?
Right, or if you want to be traditional, you can put it in C program files at x86.
Oh, there you go. Hold on. Let me see if I can save it.
And then you got to drop your icon.exe into that folder.
Yeah, but it's not giving me that option to do that. That's what I'm saying. It's not giving me the option.
Well, save it somewhere. Put it on your desktop and then move it later.
It's my desktop already. It's there. All right. I have it on the desktop. I'm going to click on it now.
Okay. If you open
okay.
It, you find
I find a folder for data, a file for pigs. I find a bunch of things. I have icon listed, but the only thing for icon I have listed is an application.
Yeah. Now right-click, drag icon out on your desktop, and select create shortcut here.
Okay, I did that. I just dragged it out. Oh, wait. Ooh, hold on.
You should get it as a blue.
Wait. Okay, wait. Hold on. Okay, what am I supposed to do? Right-click on it and then create shortcut. Okay, very good. Now I'm going to drag the shortcut out onto the window. Okay. And right click on the shortcut, on the little shortcut.
Double click on the shortcut or right click and select run.
Okay, I'm clicking on run. Triple Edge, I would love the icon. Okay, and I get an error message. File bin slash client messages dash en dot bin last author status CP failed to connect to Perforce. Unable to locate. Okay, so now.
Okay, it sounds like they've got an improper install. Right-click on the shortcut and look at properties and see where it's trying to start.
Okay.
What is that
I'm hearing? Users, desktop, COH beta. That's where it's trying to start in.
Is it needs to start in the folder that you've got that you dragged the shortcut out of?
Okay, which would be the COH beta.
Right, need to make sure it's got the whole path correct.
Okay, what is the whole path though? That's what I'm saying.
If you have Windows Explorer open, you should see that across the top.
No, I don't have Windows Explorer open. That's just for my desktop.
Okay, then what you need to do is go down, open up a, because your the path is actually C backstroke users backstroke your username.
Right.
Backstroke desktop.
Right. Slash backstroke COH beta.
Right.
Okay, that's what I've got.
And you're getting an error that can't attach to a file in there?
Yep.
That sounds like you've got an error in the package you got.
All right, so what I will do is I will remove that and I will re-download it later. All right, so and that, all right. So it's not me. That's what I thought. It's not me doing. All right. That's what was driving me crazy. I'm like, is it something I did that I don't know? Oh, come on, Deidre's back. Deidre? Oh, Deidre.
Hey, what is going on?
Ah, she's back. She's here for the last 4 minutes of the show.
Save the best for last, sweetie.
There you go. How are you, my dear?
Oh, my God. So, yeah, 5 minutes till close, and I want to do an upgrade. Oh, fuck. Really? Really?
I'm so sorry.
Oh, that's all right. You get used to it after a while. So how is everybody on this fine, lovely Friday?
Tired, but doing better. Some things this week went to crap, but they're improving. So depending on what I get done tonight, Outlook may look good for the weekend. So
awesome, awesome.
So I'm hoping to get a lot of stuff done tonight after the show. Matter of fact, right after the show, we're probably not going to do an after discussion. Probably just going to end it, grab something to eat, and jam out some work I got to get done, and then get a full day of stuff done tomorrow. So.
Well, as soon as my thing stops dinging here, sorry about that, guys. Driving.
Oh no. Well, no problem.
Real quick before we
sure.
Kind of a personal thing, not anything game related. For
okay.
The parents out there, for the parents, I took my son to an amusement park on Sunday, and it's the first time he's been to an amusement park. I know I'm a horrible father. He's 11. I'm just now taking him to an amusement park, but that's my life, unfortunately. I was able to record his first roller coaster, and let me tell you something. I know you've probably seen videos on YouTube about it. You know.
Mm-hmm.
It really doesn't hit home until you have it with your kid yourself, because that is a memory building experience that, you know, you can look at now, he can look at it later on down the road, and it's something he can pass to his kids, you know?
Right.
And if you get the opportunity, sneak your phone onto the ride. I can upload the link that I've got on YouTube if you guys want to check mine out. And just do it. It's like not taking your kid to see Santa when they're young. Oh. Just do it. Get the picture and I can't.
Oh,
Deidre?
Yes. Scarlett Corby says hi. Who is Crimson Rook? Or
hi,
Rook.
Hi, Rook. Deidre loves you.
She
smiled.
Bit of advice for today.
Okay, very cool. I just want to say really quickly, we have about a minute left in the show. Hold on. Okay, we have a minute left in the show. I want to thank everybody who hung out in chat, all our listeners all the time. Susie the Elf, who can't be here, who had to leave early because of some emergency on the home front. Thank her for being here tonight. Unfortunately, she had to leave. Thank you to Esther Malloy for calling in. Thank you, Deidre, for finally getting there with us tonight. Oh, Scarlett says she's probably arrested by now. I know they were going out to eat afterwards, so I'm going to do my traditional wave in the chat. Thank you all for tuning in. We'll see you next week. All right, we got 30 seconds left. Big finish. Go ahead, Deidre. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you guys doing the big finish. Go for it. Rock on.
I was just going to say, guys, as you know, as I always say, 10 seconds. Keep fighting a good fight. Don't stop believing. And sooner rather than later, we will get our game. We will get City of Heroes back online. And we'll all be together in AP. Have a good weekend, everybody. Okay.
Christmas in the chalet, was it?
Yes. Christmas in the chalet. Okay, we're in the after party, guys. Anything really quick?
Oh, wow.
Because I'm getting the nods up for dinner, so. And I'm starving.
Okay.
Well, if Mungo calls, you got to go.
Yeah, I hate to do this. Like I said, we've had a busy week here. We just had a crazy week here and everything. Like I said, the thing for us was the dishwasher was broken. The guy showed up at 4 o'clock today, and it took him like 15 minutes, 20 minutes to fix it. So I was all happy. By 4:30, it was fixed. So
cool.
I thought it was all
can
happy.
Can he kick 50 cents knowing where to kick $99?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Kicking the appliance.
Oh, no. It was actually a piece that was broken in the middle. Kicking wouldn't have helped. It was actually a valve that broke in the inside.
It's an old joke.
I know. Usually I do say that, like, just kick it. But I kid around with the guy, too. Like, so you're going to kick it? Goes, no, this isn't, like, a simple thing like that.
All right, guys. I will catch you next week.
All right. Thank you, Deidre. Have a good weekend. Ezra Moore, you have a good weekend too, sir. I will talk to you all next week. And for those of you still listening who decided to listen to the archive, you all have a good weekend. Be safe. Have a nice weekend. Summer's still here. We know it's a little colder here on the East Coast for some reason. We'll see you all next week, same time, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern. Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie.